just have to go off.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm not going to tell you anything new. In fact, we're going to kind of have a review. By the way, we had a couple of fine sermons the last couple of Sundays, and I hope you remember the things that were said. I want to start at the beginning. Genesis. God created this world as we know it. He placed all of the creation together and then created a garden and placed man in that garden. It didn't take very long, however, for the devil to talk man into committing the first sin. And we all know that story. And in Genesis, the third chapter, the 19th verse up through the 24th, it tells in detail, and I won't read it, about how because of what they did, they would be punished. And their punishment was to be cast from the presence of God out of the Garden of Eden. And he placed a cherubim at the entrance with a flaming sword so they couldn't come back in. Now, that is really significant to the life of man. That meant that because of that sin, that first sin, there was no way that they could come back into the presence of God unless he sought them out. We read in Genesis, the fifth chapter, that Adam and Eve had Seth. Adam was then 130 years old. And it says in there, and I'd never really noted this before, but at that time, and for the first time, they began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, you know, I think that's kind of significant. Adam was 130 years old. It took them 130 years to figure out that they needed to call upon the name of the Lord. That's terrible. And that started a pattern. Now, the law wasn't given by God until Moses. So from that time, he either dealt directly with man by talking to him, or he used the prophets. Things weren't going well. You know, at one point, he said, let's go down and see how man's doing. And they found him building the Tower of Babel. And he said, oh my. From now on, their thoughts will be imagination of evil continually. And they were. So he dispersed man. Things went along until the time of Noah. It was at that point that he said, I give up. I'm going to destroy the whole thing and start over. But Noah found grace in the presence of the Lord. And he petitioned that he wouldn't do that. And so God made an escape for him. And in a sense, they started over. Following the time of Noah, issued then in the Testament stories from the Old Testament and their relationship or lack of relationship with their God. So he took them through several different stages, the stages of the prophets, the stages of the judges, the stages of the kings, and nothing seemed to work. Man still, like at the time of the Tower of Babel, his thoughts were the imaginations and evil continually. Well, During the prophets, there was one man, Isaiah, who the Lord spoke through. And in the 7th chapter of Isaiah, the 14th to the 15th verse, he said, no, I'm going to read that to you. This is a common scripture. You'll recognize it. And you're going to hear it over the next few weeks, I'm sure, as we get closer to Christmas. He says in the 13th and 14th chapters, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but ye weary your God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He warned them. He said, the rules are going to change. I'm going to send my son. Now, there's a parable in Matthew that recaps the same story that I've just given you about the men with the vineyard and the fact that they killed all of the servants that came from the man who owned the vineyard until finally he said, I'm going to send my son. And what did they do with the son? They killed him also. Then in Matthew, I'll go to that too. The first chapter, and I think it's the 23rd verse. Starting with the 22nd. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. So he confirmed there and fulfilled the prophecy that Isaiah gave back in that 7th chapter. And sure enough, Christ was born. And he lived and preached for approximately, after he reached the age of 30, about 4 years before they crucified him. I think it's interesting to see that although the rules of morality hadn't changed, after all, we're all given the knowledge of good and evil. And all of the people in that dispensation of time had the knowledge of good and evil. And even without the direct commands of God, they should have been able to figure out how to get along together, but they just really didn't seem to be able to. Has it really changed much in the world today? Unfortunately, no. But God is still in charge. And he left us with that dispensation of time, starting with Christ, in which I quip, he changed the rules. What happened was he transferred from the law to grace. We had an excellent sermon last week about grace. Let's go to Luke. And he reiterated at least two times in the New Testament, and it may be more than that, Luke 16:16. Just a single verse. It says, the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. This is Christ speaking, and it's when he found out that John was in prison and was soon to be beheaded. And he's telling that there had been a division, if you will, of before Christ and after Christ. And the law no longer exists, but now we're under grace. Now the world would have you believe that because we're under grace, that's a get out of jail free card, so to speak. That because of the grace, that our sins are forgiven for us. And we can pretty much do what we want to. And that's not true. What is true is that Christ broke the bands of death in that he could be resurrected and made it so that all of us could be resurrected and enter back into the presence of God, something we couldn't have done had we lived in the dispensation of time before Christ because of Adam and Eve being thrown out of the Garden of Eden. That's what changed. But sin and righteousness still prevail. And it's up to us to make our choice. And if we choose righteousness over sin, through the grace of Christ, we will be saved. If we choose sin over righteousness, the grace will not save us. And then we will be bound over to Satan, the old devil. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But it creates a life in which we have the choice. We make up our mind which way we're going to go and how we're going to do it. I want to lean on Romans pretty heavy this morning for some scriptures, but I want to make it real clear that there were these two different times and that the law was indeed fulfilled. I found it interesting this morning when I got here and I looked at the bulletin. And this is a quote from the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi chapter 11. And it says, for according to the words of the prophet, the Messiah cometh in 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem. Nephi speaking. And according to the words of the prophets and also the word of the angel of God, his name shall be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I thought that was kind of interesting, seeing that that's a corollary to the scriptures I was using this morning. I want to go to the fifth chapter of Romans. There is a little better definition, pardon me, here in the fifth and sixth chapter of Romans that I think fits the situation. If we go to chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And that's exactly what happened when Adam and Eve transgressed. Death entered into the world. Before then, there was no death. And so death pressed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then we jump down to verse 19. For as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that's Jesus Christ. By him coming, breaking the bands of death, and being that one man. So, one man set up the pattern where we couldn't return to God. While another man came later on and set up a pattern whereby we can be rescued, we can be resurrected. We still have to stand the judgment, but we can be in God's presence. I find his plan most interesting. I don't know if the devil knew what he was going to do or not, but his plan fits. If we go on into Romans here, let me see, 19. I'm going to read 19 clear through 21. For as by one man's obedience many were made disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense must be abound, but whereas sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath resigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the promise. Let's see, I think I'll continue on down through Romans. In the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 6. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And that's precisely where everybody needs to repent if they have sin in their life, and they need to be baptized so that they can avail themselves of what Christ set up for them, which is supplied to us by the grace of God. I'm going to jump back to chapter 5 of Romans, verses 8 through 11. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And they speak of that. The crucifixion and the resurrection is the atonement that Christ made for us. Like I said, I'm not telling you anything new. I'm preaching to the choir. But maybe I can use a few of these more obscure scriptures to look at it a little from a different angle and show you that it is true, that it is something that we should all seek. Going back over to chapter 6 of Romans, I told you I was going to lean on Romans pretty heavy this morning. us look at I'm just going to I'm going to do what brother old brother Maley used to say. I'm going to frag the scriptures here, so forgive me. I'm just going to pick out one scripture. I'm going to use chapter 6, verse 14. 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are under the law, not under the law, but under grace." I guess since Christ is the propitiation for our sins, that he is the one who makes that decision and speaks to God. Look at it as a clerk or as a lawyer in a civil trial. You're all familiar with those things today. You have a judge, and you have a lawyer, and you have somebody who defends you. Christ is our defense lawyer, and he's going to plead our case to God if we avail ourselves of his charity and keep his commandments. If we don't avail ourselves of those and keep his commandments, he won't plead for us. It's that simple. Let's go on down in Romans to the 8th chapter. Start with verse 35 in chapter 8 and read through the end of the chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? That's a good question, because people get depressed. They say, "I'm lost." I mean, how many of you have had a revelation lately or had anyone speak to you, be it an angel or Christ or whoever? But you need not fear. Because those things, the tribulation and the distresses of this world, famine or nakedness, peril, they can't separate you from Christ. If you want to follow Christ and keep his commandments, that's your choice and you can do it. And there's nobody can take that away from you. You can claim it. The decision is yours. Now, the back side of that is a little hard, because that means you are determining what you're going to do and where you're going to go. And so if you don't avail yourselves of Christ, then can these other things affect you? They'll weigh you down, and the devil will whisper in your ear, and then you will be lost. The secret, the solution, the answer is Jesus Christ. There is one way and one way only, and that's through Jesus Christ. Let's continue reading. As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And my goodness, look at the world today. Just, they're everything out there ready to bite us. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Conquerors. You don't have to be the downtrodden or the misfortune. You can be a conqueror. Now, he's not saying you're going to be rich, you're going to be famous, but he's saying you will conquer the spirit. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, not even the political system of our country right now, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depths, nor any other creature, not even your neighbor, shall be able to separate us from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a given. That's a promise. And it's true. Where before Christ, man was most miserable. He went through a time when he couldn't return to God, when things were wicked continually. And now that we have Christ, the environment hasn't changed that much. But the solution to the problems for us have changed. We now have an advocate. We now have a way out. But we have to choose it. I think I'll read from the Book of Mormon in my closing scripture. It's a favorite of mine. I've read it before, and I'll probably read it again, because it's written to us, the Gentiles. It's chapter 14. It's only three verses long. 14 of 3 Nephi. It's on page 681. And you've all heard it before. Hearken, O ye Gentiles, and hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what I want to push this morning. Hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which he hath commanded me that I should speak concerning you, for behold, he commandeth me that I should write, saying, turn all ye Gentiles from your wicked ways and repent of your evil doings and your lyings and deceivings and your whoredoms and your secret abominations, your idolatries and your murders, and your priestcrafts, and your envyings, and your strifes, and from all your wickedness and abominations. Now, I don't want to be too hard on you this morning, because I recognize I'm speaking to the choir, but we should all evaluate our lives. Because even within the church, with our own families, our extended families, think about it. There's sin. Yeah, there is. There's sin. And who's in charge of getting rid of it? We are. Christ will help us. He's there. We have an advocate. Use him. And come unto me and be baptized in my name. Now, most of you in here this morning are baptized, except for the little guys, some of the younger people maybe. And so it's time to start teaching them about that. They need to be baptized. We have too many of our members of our families, I'm going to include my own, that haven't been baptized. They need to be. Don't wait on the ministry. Go to them. Talk to them. Explain to them what I've read to you this morning. What they've got. It's so wonderful to be able to have it, to be able to read it, to prove it that it's true. That you may receive the remission of your sins and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that you may be numbered with my people, which are of the house of Israel. Now we know that in some dispensation of time, in the future, I don't know if that's tomorrow or a year from now or 20 years from now, we will have somebody come in the spirit of Elisha again, just like John came. And then we're going to have our Lord return. And we don't need to wait for that time, because unfortunately, we will all meet our Maker here one of these days. I probably sooner than some of you, but we'll all make it there. But we have an out. Since Christ broke the bands of death. So read your scriptures, study these over, look at the patterns and how they've affected the world, and don't be a part of it. Say, I'm going to be different. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. God bless you.